Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us on Pegasus World Cup Day. Happy to have you on board. And we're going to talk, obviously, a lot about the Pegasus World Cup on this morning's show. Do want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Appreciate that. And never more than on a big day like this. As I say, we'll have a lot of conversation on the Pegasus World Cup and a really great card of undercard stakes as well. And part of that will be through our friend Gary Contessa. We had him on board up at Saratoga doing some remote or Zoom interviews, depending on the situation. And he did some Zoom interviews for us as well for this morning's show, concentrating on Pegasus World Cup Day at Gulfstream. Gary caught up with Shug McGahee, Danny Gargan, Todd Pletcher, and Brad Cox. So we'll have those interviews sprinkled in this morning. I caught up with our friend Jason Blewett. And if you didn't see the news, a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, Jason tweeted out that he was moving on from Gulfstream and joining our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. And so Jason, kind of the weekend swan song down there at Gulfstream for him. So I thought we'd catch up with Jason and see what's on the horizon for him. But more importantly, maybe as far as today, talk a little bit about his thoughts, Pegasus World Cup and some of the undercard stakes as well. So all of that coming up this morning on Racing Across America. Don't forget, and I'll should have some time to hit on this a little bit later as well. This weekend, it's Kentucky Derby Future Pool number 2. Talked a little bit about that on the handicapper support a little bit earlier. But I said, Mandaloon last week, I thought our colleague Brian Eddo was not as high on the performance. He thought it was disappointing. But I thought first time around two turns. I mean, remember, I was going to say last year. It was actually two calendar years ago. But the last two-year-old race for Tis the Law, first time around two turns in the Kentucky Jockey Club, it was kind of a similar situation. And then he came back in the first start of the three-year-old season and rebounded with that experience under the belt. And I wonder if Mandaloon may not be in the same boat. I think the two-turn experience is a little bit different for these guys. And so I'm going to give Mandaloon a little bit of a pass. We'll see what he goes off at by the time Future Pool number 2 closes tomorrow at 6. And so as we get close to 6 or middle of the afternoon tomorrow, I may jump in and pick up a little Mandaloon and see who else looks a little bit interesting. But as I say, we may talk a little bit more about that as well a little bit later this morning. But let's start things off with, as I say, Gary Contessa jumping in and catching up with some of the players on today's Gulfstream. Today's a really nice Gulfstream card. And we'll start things out with Shug McGahee and get some thoughts. I like a couple of Shug horses today, so I'm hoping he has a really nice day. But let's start things off on this Saturday morning. Our friend Gary Contessa, and as I say, he caught up with Shug McGahee on Pegasus World Cup Day.
Hi, Shug. Tomorrow looks like you got a hell of a day.
Yeah, we got a big day tomorrow. You know, that's something to have that many running in one day for me.
No kidding.
Doesn't usually happen, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, let's start with the turf. We just want to talk about the two big races. In the turf, you got two interesting horses in that they seem to augment each other well. Breaking the Rules, who just ran third in the Fort Lauderdale. And again, I didn't see the race, but might have moved a little prematurely in that race. And North Dakota, who just won the Red Smith. Tell us about those two.
Well, Breaking the Rules race in the Fort Lauderdale was good. It was a fast pace. Zayoff, in his defense, had never ridden him before, and he came back and said, I thought I was a little bit too far back, and I thought he'd push the button a little bit too soon. And, so that was that. But he came out of it really well. He's been training up and pacing. And, his works up there have been really good, dirt and turf. And, you know, with Johnny on him, I think he'll break and get himself in a good position, and he can just be patient with him and try to make one short run with him and see what happens.
Absolutely.
And with North Dakota, you know, he's just a natural distance horse, you know. We just sort of kind of brought him along and brought him along. And, you know, he kind of he won a couple of races. And then, you know, I took him down to Keeneland, ran him in another race at Keeneland, going a mile and a half, which, you know, really wanted to see how he did at that distance. And I thought he ran really good. He had a little bit of an eventful trip down on the fence, finished fourth, not beat very far, and then came out of that good. And, you know, I mean, and the Red Smith, he just sort of exploded the last part of it. So, you know, yeah. So here's a race going a mile and 3/16, which he might want to run a little farther than that, but $1 million for free, why not?
Yeah, you got that right. Is it hard for you to separate these two? Are they very similar as far as your feelings about how they might run in this race?
I think ability-wise, athletic-wise, that breaking the rules is probably different than North Dakota. But North Dakota's a true stayer. You know what I mean? He's just,
right. That's
him. And, you know, the farther they go, the better he's going to be. You know, hopefully we'll get a little pace in front for him, and as well as breaking the rules. And you know, he's able to finish into it.
Nice. Man, that's a good hand to hold there, Shug.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. You know,
good.
I think both horses have got, you know, it's a legitimate spot for them. And, you know, as you know, when big field's on the grass, a lot of times the trip's what wins.
Yep, you got that right. Now, Code of Honor, what an honest, hard-knocking horse. I mean, every time you run him, he shows up. And tell us about him. How's he doing down now?
He's done good. He's always liked it at Payson Park, and that's where he's been too. And he's had a good winter since the Clark. He got out here, and you know, we've been able to do what we wanted to do with him. We've had him on a good pattern, and you know, maybe a better pattern than say we had in New York going to the Clark, because you know, the weather in November was a little rough.
Right.
And so, you know, he had to be off the ground here. All the Pegasus horses did. And, you know, the track at Payson has been abnormally deep this winter, which is getting fixed as we speak. And, you know, both those horses look like that, you know, galloping over this firmer racetrack here at Gulfstream, but they really, they almost think they're free or something. Just they've really kind of prospered here over.
Yeah, beautiful. How about Gaffillon? Was that a determined change on your part, or did it just not work out to get anybody else? I mean, obviously Tyler is an up and coming rider, might be just what this horse needs. But what was your thinking on that?
Well, I agree with you. You know, maybe it was time for a change with him, and Javier was going to ride him, and he didn't get clearance from the doctor to start riding until, I think, middle of February or something. So Matt had reached out to me before about Tyler, and so when Javier's agent called me and said they couldn't ride, I quickly picked up the phone and called Matt, and I'm very pleased to have Tyler. You know, as you say, he's an up-and-coming rider. He's a patient rider, which I think his horse needs. You just kind of need to leave him alone. And he knows this racetrack as well as anybody, because, I mean, just where he was brought up. And I really, really feel strongly about Tyler, and I'm thankful to have him.
Great. Well, that's great, man. And and the other horses you got in all look like they have a great shot. So, man, we're really pulling for you tomorrow, Shug, but especially in these two big races, it'd be really nice to see you win a few.
It'd be fun. I'm looking forward to it, Gary. Thanks.
Good. Well, we really appreciate the call, and best of luck to you now and always.
Okay, Gary. Thank you. You
all
too.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
I like both of the horses they talked about. I like North Dakota and I like Code of Honor. We'll see how that works out this afternoon. And speaking of working out, we'll see how it works out for you. If you want to swing by the Racebook today, we will have a bankroll. I'll be doing it from in here in the studio, but you can come in and get your chance to be on the bankroll team by coming into the race book this afternoon, and put your name in the hat. I'll play between about 2 and 6 into that Pegasus World Cup card as well. Maybe look at some other tracks also, and we'll see if we can juice up the bankroll for our team. That's all this afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook. I didn't mention at the top of the show, we're a little early this morning. Why? It's early at Gulfstream, so be aware of that. The Gulfstream Pegasus World Cup card today will kick off race number one at 11:40, so keep that in mind. So some nice comments from Shug on, as I say, two solid contenders as far as I'm concerned, North Dakota and Code of Honor. Now coming up with a horse that I left out of my mix, I may really kick myself as far as Tax, because off of that last effort from Tax, as I say, I may kick myself on that one, but I've never been totally convinced on Tax. We'll find out a lot more today, though, if we can put a couple together. Like I say, follow up and validate what we saw last time. But let's get some thoughts from trainer Danny Gargan, again, with our friend Gary Contessa.
Hey, Danny, welcome to Racing Across America and Capital OTB. It's Gary Contessa. Happy to be on the phone with Danny Gargan, the trainer of Tax, for tomorrow's Pegasus World Cup. How you doing, Danny?
Thanks. Good. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Pleasure. First, tell us about the satisfaction of claiming a horse for $50,000 who goes on to make $1 million. Like, how does that feel every time you load this horse in the starting gate?
I tell you what, he's a special kind of animal. I've been blessed. It's happened to me twice. He's the second one that went on. You know, Divine Miss Gray was pretty special. She kind of got my barn going. And he's just such a wonderful animal to be around. He's such a big, good looking. You guys, everybody knows how pretty he is. He's such a big showboat. But it's satisfaction. I can't describe how much this horse has done for me.
And, you know, I love the owners, Hill and they augment each other so well. I mean, those guys. Tell us about the owners, because, I mean, he had Mucho Macho Man, tell us about these two owners.
Randy had a great year last year with Vekoma. Randy's right. Bigger than life kind of personality. Everybody, he's a little bit like me. We both like to have a lot of fun, do a lot of fun things. And Dean's the more level of the three of us. I'd say Dean's the more level-headed. He's a real smart guy. He knows horse racing really, really well. Most owners, both of them can handicap, and they're smart. You know, they're great owners, smart guys. They're very successful in their own personal lives. So this is an outlet, and it's fun for them. Like I said, Randy's, he's the fun guy. No matter if we win or lose, we're going to go out and have a great time. He's very thankful to be where he's at the last few years. Vekoma was a very special horse for him with George. George is his main trainer. I think I have 7 horses that he owns part with me, but I'm just blessed that he stands by me so much, Randy. And Dean has, I think, 4 with me.
Wow. That's incredible. And, man, I've seen him in the winner's circle, and they really look like they're having a hell of a good time. Although, who doesn't have a good time in the winner's circle?
That's a great thing. Like I said, you couldn't explain to people how Randy is always a good time before the race. If you lose, after the race, he's not a blamer. He's always, he's been in the game. He's had bad luck, good luck. So, yeah, he's just so much fun to do things with. And Dean, he has a great time when he wins. But Dean never gets upset. He understands the game so well. And we have, Hugh Lynch is a younger guy. He doesn't get that much, but he only has a few horses. Tax was one of his first horses he ever had, by the way.
Wow.
And his son's going out to California to go to college. So he's not going to be here this weekend, but he's a quieter type guy that enjoys the game also. So I'm just lucky to have the support I have from such good owners.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. They're a lot of fun. And how do you see this race coming up tomorrow? Like, how have you been training? I mean, your horse run off the screen the other day about as easy as a horse could win. How's your feeling on this horse for tomorrow?
I mean, he's coming into this race as good as he was last time. He's a bigger, stronger horse. He's better than he was when he was 3. He was a nice 3-year-old. His 4-year-old career kind of got set back because of a few little, we turned him out, thought we'd get him back for the Breeders' Cup. He spiked the temp. We missed all that. So, me and Dean talked about it, and we decided we'd bring him down to Florida and prep him and see If he run the race we were expecting, we'd go on the Pegasus or the Saudi. We decided, because he's not a great shipper, we've had issues with him when he ships getting sick. So we decided to keep him here and just shoot for the Pegasus.
Right. Well, it looks like a good move on your part. How about tactics? I mean, obviously Nick Sko throws a wrench into everybody's gear here. Do you challenge him, or do you kind of let him go and just kind of think about laying second?
Well, you know me, I'm never going to let anybody go anywhere. I'm kind of an aggressive type trainer. I mean, he's going to have to run fast. I mean, we're going to come out of the gate running. I expect if he's in front of us, he's going to have to go the half and 45 and change, because we're going to go 46 and change.
Right, right.
I know my horse will get the distance. So, I'm going to be there. At some point at the quarter pole, I want to be on the lead. If we can get home from there, we win the race. If not, that's the only instructions I'm going to give Louis, is at the quarter pole, I want the lead. Because I think if we can get the lead at the quarter pole, we'll be tough to beat.
Well,
so,
that's a hell of a.
And it's going to be a fast race. They're not going to go out. Yeah. They're not going to be running slow.
Right.
I can guarantee that part.
That's for sure.
Me and Brad are really good friends as sons. I grew up, we've known each other since we're kids. We're both from the south end of Louisville. It's kind of funny. There's three trainers in the race that all grew up around each other. Romans has two in the race. Dell's like a. You know, I've actually trained for Dell. There's been a horse win in New York, Dell Roman's owner, Danny Gargan, trainer. So he's supported me my whole career as a friend, he's advised me. He's done a lot for me in the past. I'm blessed to have friends like him. And Karen McLaughlin's been a big support when I needed, guidance and stuff. So it's kind of a cool situation that we're all in the race together and we've all grew up together. I'd love to see one of us win it.
Well, that's great. And you know what? We're going to be talking to Brad later this afternoon, but we certainly wish you all the best, man, because it looks like you're as good as you can be at the right time. So I think that's perfect for you. And we'll all be rooting for you tomorrow.
Well, I appreciate it so much, guys. And like I said, thanks for having me. I really enjoy being on with you guys, and couldn't be more happy than my horse doing the way he is right now.
Great. Well, best of luck to you, Danny. Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, man. Bye.
And yes, a very crafty claim already has proven to be a very crafty claim. But subsequently, a couple of years down the road, you win a $3 million race. It elevates to one of those all-time great claims. We'll see what Tax can do later this afternoon in the Pegasus World Cup. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, still some Jason Blewett, still some Todd Pletcher, still some Brad Cox, all on this Saturday morning Pegasus World Cup Day edition of Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a chilly day, a very chilly day in the Northeast. But as I continue to say throughout the winter, we get to live vicariously watching some action down at Gulfstream this afternoon. Some of the other venues, Oaklawn kicked off yesterday, one of my favorite early season venues. And so certainly we'll be talking about them over the next few weeks as well. And a little bit later on the show, because they kicked things off with a three-year-old stake yesterday. So we'll hit on that also. But We're going to continue talking Pegasus World Cup Day here in this segment. As I touted earlier yesterday, we caught up with our friend Jason Blewett, who announced a couple of weeks ago that he will be moving on to a new venture with our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. So he's kind of wrapping up his time at Gulfstream Park, where he did a great job. He moved down there after leaving NYRA, and he did a great job in New York, and a good job as well with our friends Ron Nicoletti and Acacia Courtney down at Gulfstream, but moving on to a new venture. And so we talked a little bit about that, wished him luck on the new venture, but also got some of Jason's thoughts on today's Pegasus World Cup Day card, some of the stakes action. Up next, Jason Blewett.
Happy to be joined now by our friend Jason Blewett from Gulfstream Park, about to become a new member. And Jason, I was a little surprised when you announced on Twitter a few weeks ago you're going to join our friends Tommy Bellhouse and Terry Finley with West Point. And I was also surprised because I remember it had to be a Florida Derby weekend when we were down there for OTB TV, running into you just before you started the job. And I was surprised at how time flies. You've been there a while now. You're doing a great job, but off on a new adventure. So congratulations.
I appreciate that, Seth. Good talking to you. And obviously, Capital OTB is near and dear to my heart. Love upstate New York from my days as a kid, spending 2 weeks every summer in Chestertown up in Loon Lake, and then falling in love with horse racing and the Saratoga Springs connection. That's where my wife's from, Saratoga Springs. So, I'm really excited about the new gig with West Point. I'll gear up for West Point Thoroughbreds second half of February and start working for them full time. The 4 years I spent down here working for the Stronach Group, I mean, really went by in the blink of an eye, and proud of the work I did for the company.
Yeah, you've done a great job. We've had fun watching it down there. I wish you a lot of good luck on the new gig. But also, I was going down your Twitter feed, and you're still going to be based out. I guess you've become a Florida guy, because I was kind of envious when I looked at the pictures of your wife and your dog out on the paddleboard.
Yeah, that's a year-round activity you can do. I am a big fan. As much as I love wearing dress clothes and my suits and all that, I also like wearing flip-flops and shorts, and you can do that year-round down here. So, we had our Belgian Malinois, who's kind of, she's more along the lines of like a German Shepherd. We had her out on the paddle boards, out on the ocean. It was calm as glass last Monday or Tuesday, and, you know, you just can't beat winters down here in general. And, as we talk, and with Pegasus Day upon us, weather's great down here, Seth. I mean, this is what it's about, my friend, this time of the year at Gulfstream Park in South Florida.
Yeah, we always look forward to our visits. Unfortunately, last year couldn't make it down, but I always look forward to our visits. But we do live vicariously through you, and we'll do so on Saturday. Oh, just before I get to that, we were talking before we went on the air, and the job with Pegasus, I said, that'll mean we'll see a little Jason Blewett up in Saratoga, I assume.
Yeah, definitely a perk of the West Point gig for sure, getting to spend summers in Saratoga again. It's crazy to me when I think about it. I've had one Saratoga trip after my time with NYRA ended. 2016 was the last full summer I spent up there, and was able to travel up there for Vino Rosso's Jim Dandy, even though he didn't win. And it'll be nice getting back up there and just breaking up the summer a little bit. I'm thrilled. Like, my wife and I don't have to relocate. We love Florida and love living down here and stuff. But yeah, again, getting up there for 8-9 weeks in the middle of the summer is really, really going to be a special thing. And again, my wife Christine is from there, went to Saratoga High School and stuff like that. So it's just, it really, when you put it on paper, it's like, you know, kind of like the dream schedule of doing the Florida stuff, but also getting that summertime in Saratoga Springs, because there's no my favorite place on the planet.
We'll pull you over on the backstretch during the summer, have you sit in live with us. But today, let's talk a little Pegasus World Cup Day, and we'll hit on the Pegasus itself and the Pegasus turf. But first, a couple of undercard races. And as I handicap OTB Live in the afternoon, Gulfstream's in the mix, I pull up what you and Acacia and Ron have picked and kind of compare myself to you guys. And I will tell people that they can go to the Gulfstream Park website and pull up those selections every racing day. But you've been on a nice little roll over the past few weeks. So we'll see what you can do this afternoon. Let's start with the Marshuas River, a mile on the grass in the Grade 3 event. And as we were talking before, I said, let's take a look at this one, because this is a wide open event. I looked at this for our stakes preview at OTB. And I took a shot with Nico's Dream. Our friends at Sacatoga, unfortunately, they won't have Tiz Halal this afternoon as that one's retired. But I thought Nico's Dream off the win last time was interesting. Vigilante's way underneath for me. Your thoughts on the Marshall's River?
Yeah, no, I'm dying to see, Seth, how well Nico's Dream runs back, because I think everybody, maybe outside of the Sacatoga crew, was a little surprised with her upset win in the My Charmer. I'd like to see all those horses come out of the My Charmer, and I think collectively, I think they're going to need to run a little bit better, because this field, to my eyes, came up significantly deeper. Now, as I say that, I took a horse who buried a field of age-restricted company last out in the Tropical Oaks, and that is the Phipps horse, the number four, Vigilante's Way. But she really strikes me, Seth, as a filly with that classic Phipps pedigree for Shug, who is just really still improving and coming into her own. So I'm looking forward to seeing her race and hopefully sitting on a career best effort. Zofel the Three, I thought, would run well. As well for Brendan Walsh. She liked this turf course last winter, and I spoke with Brendan, and you'll hear from him later this afternoon on the Gulfstream feed about this mare. And looking at those works at Palm Meadows, it looks like she's sitting on an A effort off the layoff.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with Zofel. I didn't put that one in the mix, but I have a couple of stars next to it, and I wasn't quite sure. Tuned is interesting to me as well from Grand Motion. I think that course can be a player off the second place finish in the My Charmer.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Out of that race, I would prefer anyway, as much as I love Barkley and the Sacatoga gang, I think Tuned, not that she needed that race, but again, much like my argument with Vigilante's Way, I think Graham's filly, or mare in this case, Raul Shakab, is still kind of getting the hang of things slowly but surely as far as racing in this country. And she strikes me as another one that may not win later this afternoon, but is going to fire her best race so far stateside.
Let's move on to the McKnight Grade 3 event, mile and a half on the grass. And another one where I will be interested to see what you did with the two horses I put underneath, those being Sadler's Joy and Channel Cat, who I think are the two horses to beat, obviously, off the numbers. I'm a buyer's guy, solid numbers and solid talent. They just seem a little camera shy on the win end. So I'm hoping for a big day for Barkley. I put Doswell on top. But again, I'm going to be interested to see your thoughts on either Channel Cat or Sadler's Joy, because I think they're the horses to beat. What do you think of McKnight?
No, I agree wholeheartedly with that sentiment that they are like the class horses in the race from like a historical perspective. I worry as neat, and I think we can all agree, Sadler's Joy has just had like a really just outstanding career for Tom Albertrani. Yeah. And it feels like he's a little older than 8 years old, like in your mind. You know, if you had said this is his 11-year-old debut later, I don't know if I would have blinked twice at that. It feels he's a little older than eight. You know, I worry a little bit at what point does he start to slow down, and not a great post for a Channel Cat on the outside. I'm with you on the one Doswell, who just, again, Barkley seems to really have him breathing fire and on this, you know, upward sort of bullish line. I also think, and I wound up picking the Mike Maker horse in mid-pack, the 7 Tide of the Sea, who was really getting good second half of 2020, a combination of the Fort Lauderdale Stakes being a very deep field, and he was almost 40-1, so that might be obvious, and just not the trip that he wants to pull. I think he's a feel-good, free-running horse. Would like to see if he can stack up against some of the more established runners as he steps up. I'll take the 7 Tide of the Sea and the McKnight.
Yeah, and I always say it's counterintuitive, but speed is very dangerous in these marathon kind of events, and you would have to think he'll try to get back to that, kind of draw a line through the Fort Lauderdale last time. But I had notes next to him. I didn't use them, but if you get a decent price, yeah, Tide of the Sea. Very playable. In the Pegasus World Cup Turf Invitational, $1 million up for grabs. I played around. I took some shots in here. I'm going to be interested to see where the betting public goes with Colonel Liam. To me, the numbers were a little bit light, but boy, they paid a lot of money for this horse and the win last time. We'll see if I'm right or the betting public winds up right. But I took a shot with North Dakota, and as a show guy, I'll be interested to see what you did with North Dakota. But I have that one under... over another twist of fate for Peter Miller coming in from the West Coast. And Aquaphobia, the price for Mike Maker, is interesting to me. But what do you think in the turf?
Yeah, I'm buying into the hype here with Colonel Liam. And I know, you know, Pete Aiello, who does the morning line and calls the races, is one of my my closest friends at the company and just in South Florida in general. And I know he was kind of the last a few weeks, he's been laboring back and forth. And he made Colonel Liam a slight favorite. And I think he made the right move there. This horse just has a world of upside and is just starting to get the hang of things for Todd Pletcher. And although the bar is clearly set higher than what Colonel Liam has fired so far, horses like Another Twist of Fate, who have run pretty well, and a few of these other horses that just have a lot more racing experience than Colonel Liam, I just don't think any of these more established horses, Seth, are all that imposing. I think for a grade one for $1 million, this is a very good spot for Colonel Liam to kind of dip his toes in the water. And I'm walking into Gulfstream, or I did walk into Gulfstream today, expecting a win out of him. I'm all Pletcher. I got Social Paranoia in the second spot, who hits hard at a mile, but can also go along with that big closing kick.
Yeah, as I say, it's going to be interesting to see what Colonel Liam does wind up doing in there, because, again, it's Pletcher, it's Gulfstream, and so we'll see where that one winds up. The Pegasus itself, $3 million up for grabs at a mile and an eighth, and I went against post positions here because I have a 10, 11, 4, and 8, Code of Honor on top. I just think he's better than the last couple of races. I'm hoping he proves it this afternoon in the third start back. I remember what Mr. Freeze did in this race last year, where he seemed to stamp himself as a player in the handicap division. Didn't quite live up to that, but I think on the return to Gulfstream, he's interesting. And then I went with the horse that will probably be the favorite, you would have to think, off the last few races, Nick's Go, who may just say, catch me if you can, and they may not be able to. I left Tax out of my mix. I may regret that. What are your thoughts on the Pegasus?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Seth. I looked around and I went into this with the MO and under like the guise of wanting to beat and come up with a horse who could beat Nick's Go. Those three races he ran, though, last year for Brad Cox, I mean,
yeah.
It's otherworldly. I mean, the word that kept coming up with this guy's ability to improve horses off trainer change was preternatural. Because, I mean, look at this. And I think going on this track at a mile and a furlong with this horse as the controlling speed, all that stuff kind of thrown together and mixed in a potion, I think he's a pretty imposing favorite, Seth. I really do. So I went Nick's Go over Tax with Code of Honor third. I chalked it out. I've just, having been at Gulfstream every single day this meet, and last year too, over the summer and spring and fall, you know, watching Danny Gargan bat upwards of 40% now that this meet is basically at the halfway point, and how well that horse ran in the Harlan's Holiday, I'm taking the 240% barn set. That's my plan of attack in the Pegasus.
Yeah, and the handicapping show earlier, I talked about a couple of summers ago having Danny Gargan on with us live on the backstretch at Saratoga, and he talked about having to be talked into picking up a piece of the horse after it was claimed by Danny Gargan, and folks can see that at the bottom of the page. You win a $3 million race with a former claimer. That winds up to be a pretty good claim, and I'm sure Randy now, well, he was already happy he jumped in with the wins earlier in the career. But before we move on and wrap it up, I just want to mention the maiden special earlier on the card, the sixth race. Any buzz on Stage Raider, the Have to Justify?
You know, it's funny, Seth. I was thinking the same thing and haven't heard anything. And I think probably the culprit of not having any whispers on that race is just due, you know, fans, the COVID situation and stuff like that. As we talk, I was going to send Chad Brown a text a little later this afternoon, just so I'm a little more prepared on the air when we talk about that race as to what he thinks and how he thinks that horse is trained, but kind of a neat and nice surprise. It's not every day you get to kind of, you know, look at a maiden special weight where you're running into a younger half brother to a Triple Crown winner.
Yeah, and a great way for you to kind of wind up your career at Gulfstream. Again, Jay, it's been fun to watch you down at Gulfstream, and wish you a lot of good luck in the new move over to the West Point side of things. And again, our friends Terry Finley and Tommy Bellhouse, you'll have a lot of fun working with them, and look forward to seeing you down the road, and expect to see you up at Saratoga.
Yeah, we'll definitely see you at the Spa. You know, I just also want to not only thank you for coming on the air. It's always good catching up with you. But, you know, all the support I've had in and around Saratoga Springs just throughout my career and people, it's nice when I hear, it's like, oh, I ran into so-and-so on Broadway and they were asking how you're doing. So I've always had a lot of people in my corner rooting for me, you know, in that part of the country. And just looking forward, hopefully, knock on wood, this summer with COVID and everything, let's hope we're a little more back to normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I've been knocking on wood for the last 6 months and I'm right with you. Hopefully things return to some sense of normalcy sooner rather than later. Jay, appreciate the visit.
All right, Seth, enjoy the Pegasus, everybody. And we'll see you soon.
Really appreciate the visit from Jason Blewett again, as he moves on to a new chapter with our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. I'm sure he's going to have a lot of fun and be a great addition to their team. So catch today, which is essentially going to be the swan song for Jason and his coverage down at Gulfstream Park, where, again, he's done a great job. And as I said at the start of the interview, it's hard to believe it's been 4 years, because it had to be a Florida Derby weekend, because I can remember up on the third floor just kind of walking along with him, talking about as he was contemplating starting up at Gulfstream, and again, how time flies. He's had 4 solid years down there. So again, wish Jason Blewett a lot of good luck as he moves on to a new venture with West Point Thoroughbreds. But again, we'll enjoy him today, pregame show and in the paddock for Pegasus World Cup Day. And don't forget, let me just set the stage again, things kick off today at 11:40 with race number one at Gulfstream. Let me also set the stage once again that there is a bankroll here at the Clubhouse Racebook. I'll have $300 to play for the team. Come on down to the Racebook. Put your name in the hat. We'll start playing at about 2 and go to about 6. So come down a little earlier. Put your name in the hat to get selected for the bankroll team. All right, we'll take a break. And when we come back, still a couple more Contessa interviews. And again, he caught up with Todd Pletcher and Brad Cox. We'll talk to both of them via Gary Contessa right after this.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Horses racing, people betting. It's been going on since before the Roman Empire. And the fastest horse is still the one that wins. Where there's gambling, there's cheating. That hasn't changed either. What has changed are the tools used to combat doping and cheaters. Today, professional horse racing operates under an aggressive anti-doping program, testing labs on par with the Olympics, and standards tougher than human sport. For 85 years, the Association of Racing Commissioners International has fought for safe horses and honest sport. ARCI standards form the basis for the rules of racing. Today, they call for a new expanded program to protect all horses, young and old. To join with them or learn more, visit ARCI.com.
Welcome back to this Pegasus World Cup Day edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Again, Gary Contessa, kind enough to put some interviews together focused on the Pegasus World Cup card, as he did helping us out up at Saratoga when we were up there. And Gary caught up with Todd Pletcher and Brad Cox. So let's jump into those interviews, get some thoughts on their runners on this very nice Saturday afternoon planned for Gulfstream Park. First up, Gary Contessa and Todd Pletcher.
America, and thank you so much for participating, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Gary.
Hey, tomorrow we're really just talking about the two big races at Gulfstream, and you got a heavy hand in that turf race. I mean, every one of your horses is coming off a bang-up race, and I was wondering if you could just discuss them with us a little bit. You know, I mean, every one of them's won their last start. I mean, it looks like you have a great chance in this race. Tell us about them.
Well, yeah, I'm really, really pleased with the way all three horses are training. I like the fact that all three horses have had success on the Gulfstream turf course. They all seem to really relish it. So I think that that hopefully bodes well for us. But you know, they're all coming off good performances, starting with Largent. Sort of a, you know, breakthrough race for him in the Fort Lauderdale last time. He really closed strongly. I think this race is interesting from a pace standpoint. There doesn't appear on paper to be a lot of early speed in here, and I could see a scenario where a horse like Largent could potentially be very close to the pace or even on the lead, depending on maybe what a couple of the California horses do. But going a mile and 3/16, I think as good as he is from the gate, there's a chance that Paco Lopez might be on the front end there. And I think that would complement my other two horses. I think Social Paranoia, you know, wants to settle and make one run. And Colonel Liam has kind of he's a good tactical horse. He can be in just about any position you want with him early on. So depending on how quickly they're going, I think, you know, he could be laying as close as third or fourth or as far back as sixth or seventh, just depending on how quickly they're going.
Yeah, I think Largent, you really have to forgive his placement in the last race, even though it worked out really well for you. He generally is a speedier type, but they were smoking in that race. You know, 46, 109. I mean, he was kind of forced into the position he was. And you know what? It turned out being his best race ever.
Yeah. And, you know, so we're not going to assume that there's going to be that kind of pace in this race. We knew in the last one, and I actually told Paco in the paddock before the race, I said, look, Halliday and Factor This are fast horses. There's going to be a strong pace here. So, you know, try to just sit back a little bit. He actually was able to get him a little further back than I would have thought, but like you said, they were rolling early and they won't be this time. So
right,
we'll just kind of play it by ear, but I could see a scenario where he could be up close.
Now Colonel Liam is such a lightly raced horse. What are your thoughts with Colonel Liam? You think he has a big future? I mean, he's done a lot in a very short period of time.
Yes, he's a very talented horse. You know, he came to us with high expectations. He was an expensive two-year-old purchase. He breathes really well at OBS on the synthetic, and he worked well for us on the dirt. And naturally, we wanted to try to see if he could have success on the dirt, but he's also second dam as Wonder Again. It was a top-class grade one mare on the turf, and so it was always sort of in the back of our mind that if we got frustrated on the dirt, that the turf could be his future. And when we worked him on the turf, it was pretty obvious that he moved up, and he was very impressive in allowance race at Saratoga. Kind of got unlucky in the Saratoga Derby when he missed the break and got slammed at the start, just came up a half length short, but came back off the shelf with what I thought was a really good performance in the Tropical Derby. And, you know, hopefully that has him set up to make another move forward here.
And that race in the Super Derby, I mean, he was flying. How he got beat in that race was how to drive you crazy, because he was coming. You just like waiting, where's the wire?
Yeah, it was frustrating, especially, you know, with all the trouble at the start that he had. I felt like had he just been able to get away in a little better order and found a little better position early on, that could have been the difference.
Right, right. And then last but not least, looking at your bottom horse, Social Paranoia, I mean, he delivers every time. He's made almost $1 million. He shows up every time, and he's probably the longest shot of your entry, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, he probably will be the highest odds, but at the same time, like you said, I mean, he's ultra consistent. He always performs well. He's been successful everything from 7.5 furlongs to a mile and 5/16. So he's, you know, he's versatile. I think some people might overlook him a little bit because of the outside post, but I think going a mile and 3/16, that shouldn't be an issue. There's plenty of time to get over and hopefully save some ground in the first turn. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations where I really like the way all three horses are doing training. And, you know, I'd have a hard time telling you that one's clearly better than the other, but they're, you know, they're all certainly, I think, capable if they're able to work out the right trip.
Well, you're holding a very strong hand tomorrow, Todd, and we're going to be rooting for you. And, I can't thank you enough for calling. And, boy, this is a great group of horses. So best of luck to you for the million.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, Todd. Thanks very much.
Again, Colonel Liam, one of two horses on the card. You know, normally on a card, you're looking to see how the horses you pick do, which I clearly am. But there's a couple of horses on the card that I left out of my mix that I'm interested to see. Tax, who I mentioned earlier, and Colonel Liam, I'm not quite convinced on that one either. Both of those may cost me, but as I say, a couple of horses that I'll be interested to see how they do this afternoon. All right, speaking of how they do, you would have to think this one will do very well. The likely favorite in the Pegasus World Cup will be Nick's Go off some nice performances for trainer Brad Cox. And Gary Contessa caught up with Brad to talk a little Nick's Go. That's up next.
Gary Contessa with Capital OTB Racing Across America. And once again, I have the privilege of talking to Brad Cox. And I spoke to him, if you remember, we spoke to Brad right before the Breeders' Cup, and he won 4 Breeders' Cups. So hopefully lightning will strike twice. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, Gary. Good. I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. My pleasure. How's your horse doing? I mean, he looks like he's doing fantastic.
Yeah, he really is. He's been obviously prepping for the Pegasus at the fairgrounds in New Orleans, and he's trained real well. He flew over on Tuesday and has really settled in. He's had 3 gallops here at Gulfstream, and he schooled fantastic yesterday. Thursday, and just really moving forward. So he's moving as well and doing as well as he was leading up to the Breeders' Cup. So he's given us a lot of confidence over here.
So I'm guessing you're probably going to reverse strategy and take him back and make one run.
No, I don't know if Hulk Hogan could rate this horse. He's very strong and forward and likes to go. So
you're inside the other speed horses, which is kind of a good thing.
Yeah, I think so. So, we'll obviously, when it comes down to it, when Joel's legged up in the paddock, he's going to take over, and he's done a fantastic job on this horse's last 2 starts. So he has a lot of confidence in him.
And the funny thing is, anybody that thinks about Joel Rosario as a rider thinks about him taking a hold. I mean, when I see Joe Rosario on the lead on a horse, I'm thinking, my God, he must have a ton of horse.
Yes, right. But yeah, he's really, really, if he can have things his own way up front, and you know, he's a good judge of pace. So, I think he obviously fits his horse really well.
He does. Man, he looks so good in Keeneland. You know, everybody's waiting for him to stop, and he just kept finding a new gear. It was an amazing race.
Yes. No, it was a tremendous effort. They went very quick and really kicked home clear. I mean, really went well.
How do you feel about the distance for this horse, 1.8 miles? You think
he can do it. I really do. And if there is a track that he could do it on, he may not be able to get 1.8 miles, you know, maybe at Aqueduct or something. But, you know, I do feel confident that he would be able to get it here at Saratoga, given, you know, it's not a real long stretch. Speed's good. So I think there's a lot of positives with him running here at Gulfstream.
Well, great. Man, well, we're wishing you a lot of luck. and the horse looks like he's just coming in top form. And if he can hold on to that form for his entire 5-year-old career, it'll be a hell of a year for you.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. So hopefully it works out on Saturday.
Good. Well, thanks for talking to us, Brad. We really appreciate it. And best of luck in the big one, man. That's a big $3 million pot, and we're wishing you a lot of luck, man.
I appreciate it, Gary. Thank you very, very much.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Again, obviously a very big day today coming up at Gulfstream Park. Pegasus World Cup, Pegasus World Cup Turf, undercard stakes as well. So hopefully we gave you some ideas. I will be in this afternoon with OTB Live in a bankroll, and we'll be going through the card live. It should be a lot of fun. I mean, a lot of great racing at other venues as well, which you can catch here on the network also. But hopefully we gave you some nice thoughts to lead you into Pegasus World Cup Day. Again, with an early post at Gulfstream of 11:40. That's when the first race kicks off. But as I say, other venues as well. One of those today will be Oaklawn. They opened yesterday, and they kicked things off on their 3-year-old trail on opening day with the Smarty Jones. And, you know, they had a nice, fun little field in there of 7. And the favorite at 3-5 was Caddo River. Caddo River, second place in the debut up at Saratoga, followed that up in a maiden special down at Belmont and ran a close-up second there, and then went off as the 30-cent to a dollar favorite on the move down to a maiden special weight race in November at Churchill, stretching out to the one-turn mile down there off 2-7 furlong races to start the career. And Caddo River broke the maiden very impressively in the third start of the career at Churchill. Again, that was last November, but off of that effort and tied in with the Brad Cox name, Caddo River went off as the very chalky favorite yesterday in the Smarty Jones at 3-5. Cowan at 2-1 was the second choice, and we're going to watch the entire race here in a minute. And watch Cowan going into the first turn. He runs into a little bit of trouble. Given the margin of the race, I don't know whether it was enough to make a difference. But I mentioned Cowan particularly because Cowan comes out of a second place finish last time in the Springboard Mile. That was won by Senior Buscador. And we talked about Senior Buscador as an interesting horse that made the top 20 when we talked last week with our friend Jeremy Plonk about his current Countdown to the Crown top 20. And Senior Buscador for trainer Todd Fincher, not Todd Pletcher, Todd Fincher, a guy who may fly under the radar with folks, but he's a high percentage guy kind of down in the Southwest and the Midwest. Senior Buscador, I'll go through the odds of the Kentucky Future Pool in just a moment after we watch the race. But Senior Buscador may have been flattered a little bit by Cowan, who, again, was well beaten, as you'll see when they come down the stretch, but a second place that was well clear of the third place finisher. So maybe a little flattery from Cowan, who finished second last time in the Springboard behind Senior Buscador. But no question, the race flattered Caddo River for Brad Cox. We will watch the entire Smarty Jones yesterday from opening day at Oaklawn Park. Again, the favorite, number 7, Caddo River, who kind of gets out and takes them all the way around and then widens. Check out the chart margin for this 3-5 favorite. 7, again, number 7 is Caddo River. Number 3 is Cowan. And watch as Cowan, as I say, gets into a little trouble on the first turn. Running third in here, Big Thorn, Moonlight Strike, runs fourth, but obviously the top two are the one you want to pay attention to. From yesterday's opening day at Oaklawn Park, the Smarty Jones.
They're off. Cowan wins the break. Caddo River asks for speed. Between horses, Hardly Swayed. And now Caddo River is going to take the lead. Hardly Swayed is a pumped up and tugging second. Then comes Cowan and Moonlight Strike. Cowan had to check off of the heels of Hardly Swayed, who is unmanageable to the backstretch. No good for Cowan. Martini Blue races at the rail, then Lawlessness, and the early trailer is Big Thorn. To the backstretch they run, and Caddo River cleared the trouble, and he's got the lead to the backstretch, and he strides along two lengths in front of Hardly Swayed, who has now settled down a bit in second. Then comes Martini Blue at the rail with Moonlight Strike just outside of him. Cowan is between those two. He's fifth and about 4 from the front, 2 in front of Lawlessness, and the trailer is still Big Thorn. They run past the half-mile pole. The finish line is the 16th pole, and here they are going into the far turn in the 14th, Smarty Jones with Caddo River in a high cruising speed. Caddo River leads by 2 lengths. Now make it 2.5. Now make it 3. Now make it 3.5. Caddo River tries to get away at the top of the stretch. Martini Blue and Cowan are racing second and third. That's all for Hardly Suede. Next, it's Moonlight Strike and Big Thorn, and Caddo River is dominating at the top of the stretch. It is Caddo River. He has built up a 6 or 7 length advantage. Cowan is racing in second, but Caddo River has leveled out, and he is running strongly to the wire. It is Caddo River now double digits in front. Caddo River and the Smarty Jones straight and strong. Caddo River won by 10. Cowan was second. Maybe Big Thorn for third, and Moonlight Strike fourth.
Yeah, chart margin 10.25 lengths. An impressive performance from Caddo River. Career start number 4. A couple of wins, a couple of second place finishes, as I said. But Cowan was 7.25 ahead of third. And as I say, may have flattered Senior Buscador a little bit. And I have pulled up the odds on the Kentucky Future Pool after a day and a half of wager. Less than, I think it kicked off yesterday, actually. So about a day, less than a day of wagering. But I'm $77,000 in the pool. But Senior Buscador, 54-1. And as I say, Cowan in the Springboard Mile had finished second to Senior Buscador. So maybe flattered that one a little bit with a decent second place yesterday. Opening day, Smarty Jones down at Oaklawn. Senior Buscador, 54-1. I mentioned earlier, for me, Mandaloon was better than that third place finish last week may have indicated. And again, that this is an opinion because on the handicapper support, as we talked with Brian Addo, who was at Fairgrounds last week and has talked with Brad Cox about Mandaloon, they were expecting more. So, and so given the performance, Brian was not as impressed with me. I wasn't impressed with Mandaloon, but I think first time around two turns, it was an effort where I think you could maybe anticipate that there'd be better going forward with that experience under the belt. And as I said at the top of the show, I go back to Tiz the Law and his first time around two turns in the Kentucky Jockey Club, which was maybe a little bit disappointing. But it was the first time around two turns, and it had that look. I thought Mandaloon did too. Is just in the stretch, there were a couple of points where you thought may get going again, and so I'll be interested to see the next start for Mandaloon. But all of that said, after, again, a day or so, less than a day of wagering, 99-1 on Mandaloon. So before 6 o'clock tomorrow on the pool closing, I'll take a little pop at Mandaloon. Favorite is clearly the betting public is saying, you know, at this point, we don't think the 23 horses listed may wind up to be the players in the Kentucky Derby. They have made all others 4-5 at this point. The single entrant that is the short price, no surprise, because the Bob Baffert name on the Kentucky Derby trail carries a lot of weight now, and that means Life is Good is at 7-1. Baffert also surprising. Baffert not only carrying some weight with bettors, but carrying some weight with the folks who put the pool together, as they have put a runner for Baffert that has no starts, Bezos, on the list. That is one of the horses, one of the 23 that's in the Kentucky Derby Future Pool. So you're really taking a pop here, and Bezos with no starts yet under the belt, 39-1. Which seems, I mean, 39-1 is a pretty good price, but for a horse that hasn't started yet, I don't know. Caddo River, after yesterday's performance, no surprise, at 12-1. Essential Quality, given what we've seen from that Brad Cox runner, no surprise, at 10-1. But again, there are some intriguing prices, as I mentioned, with, to me, Mandaloon being the interesting one, at least 99-1. Jackie's Warrior, 30-1. That one may be a little bit intriguing for people. Off last week's win, Midnight Bourbon, 32-1. Muta Sabik off of the win, 86-1. So there are some horses in there. Proxy, who I thought ran well last week, 99-1. So we'll see how it winds up by the time, this is kind of a surprise given that it's a Baffert horse, Spielberg, 63-1. So again, we'll see as the pool will close tomorrow at 6, but by the time you get to tomorrow at lunchtime, I think these odds will start to be kind of settled and you can make some decisions. But I think there's two or three in there maybe worth taking a little bit of a pop at and playing around. I mean, part of what you're betting on now is that they make it to the first Saturday in May to begin with. But, you know, you start to get 50, 60, 99-1, you're getting the proper odds to take those shots. And as I say, there may be two or three of them. Kentucky Derby future wager pool number 2 closing again tomorrow at about 6 o'clock. So we'll talk a little bit more about it as the day progresses tomorrow as well. Do want to alert you, today at Aqueduct, there is a late pick 5 carryover. Let me just make sure I have the number right. I have $114,000, and I'm just making sure, yes, racing resumes today. This is from the NIRA page with a $114,000 late pick 5 carryover. So again, that's today at Aqueduct, late pick 5 carryover, $114,000. Keep that in mind. Great card. That's at Aqueduct. Great card at Gulfstream. Again, talked a lot about that this morning. Hopefully we gave you some ideas for that Gulfstream card, highlighted by the Pegasus World Cup, Pegasus World Cup turf. But again, a solid slate of undercard stakes races as well. And race number 6 brings us Stage Raider, a sibling to Justify from Chad Brown. So that one is going to be interesting. First-time starter. So that should be interesting, just on the undercard and a maiden race on the Gulfstream card today. Should be a lot of fun. Again, we'll kick things off at 11:40 at Gulfstream, about 12:20 Aqueduct, Oaklawn in our mix today. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. I don't think people who watch regularly are unfamiliar with the fact that Oaklawn is one of my favorite venues year in and year out, because I think there's just a lot of value there. As opposed to some tracks where there's value, but you're left scratching your head at that $39 horse. At Oaklawn, it seems like you can find horses like that that have a little something that you can hang your hat on a little bit and have some confidence in. There are those types that, as I say, at the other venues, get it done, but after the race, you're looking and thinking, okay, that there was value, there was a price there. Would have been a little hard to come up with, though. But at Oaklawn, it seems like there are some logical contenders that can offer some value and do so on a regular basis. So it's a fun track to follow during the winter. Happy they're in the mix. And certainly we will be talking to the folks from Oaklawn on these morning shows as their season progresses. And again, they got the nice 3-year-old trail underway for them. Southwest Rebel Arkansas Derby coming up down there. But Caddo River looking very good yesterday in the kickoff, Smarty Jones. All right, once again, there is a bankroll this afternoon. We'll focus certainly on that Pegasus World Cup card and more. I'll have the bankroll to play between about 2 and 6. You can come to the racebook this morning, this afternoon, toss your name in the hat to get selected for the team. And again, we'll kick things off as far as the bankroll itself at about 2 o'clock and go through the Pegasus and try to juice the bankroll up for the team. So come on down, put your name in the hat, and see if you can get on the bankroll team. We'll be doing it from in here in the studio this afternoon, so you can stay tuned all afternoon. It'll be a regular edition of OTB Live, but we'll toss in some bankroll plays as well. So should be fun, hopefully, as I say, lucrative as well. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks once again to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and promotions here at Capital OTB during their championship season, which is evidenced by a great card this afternoon. And we will look at it starting in about an hour and a half or so. Again, an 11:40 post time at Gulfstream, and we'll be looking at all of it with OTB Live, plus other venues as well, including, of course, Aqueduct, and as I say, Tampa, Fairgrounds, and Oaklawn. A lot of fun action on this Saturday that here in the Northeast, again, is a chilly Saturday. But as we focus on Gulfstream, we'll be able to, as I like to say, live a little vicariously looking at their nice weather and hopefully enjoying ourselves cashing some tickets as well. That'll keep us warm, walking back and forth to the window to cash the tickets. That'll be the game plan. So I'm going to wrap it up for Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Thanks to our friend Gary Contessa for his participation, pulling up some of the nice interviews. Thanks also to the folks who jumped on board, Chug McGahee, Danny Gargan, Todd Pletcher, Brad Cox, and, of course, our friend Jason Blewett. Catch him on the pregame and the paddock commentary as well as he bids adieu to Gulfstream Park on his way to a new venture with our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. All right, going to wrap it up for Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. But as I say, be back in about an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. Stay tuned. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.